Blog Talk Radio.
All the listeners of the Wise Women Media Radio Show. Our show is brought to you by many different sponsors. I'm going to go ahead and list them. Roundtree 7, Monsters, Daughters of Isis, Hoodoo, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, Florida Nature Photos. You can find us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. If you go there right now, you will see the latest post describing our guest and the video of the person who's really going to be talked about as during a portion of this show. So I want to introduce Abby Condor to you. Abby, you with me there?
Yes, I'm here.
Abby Condor is the owner of Condor Minis, which is just south of Ocala, Florida. It's a 15-acre farm where she breeds miniature horses, and also I saw the pictures of the poodles as well. So you're doing both animals. and how long have you been in business there, Abby?
We've lived here in Summerfield for going on 6 years now.
And can you tell us a little bit about how that whole venture was born and came to be?
Oh, the miniature horses?
Yes.
Yeah. We raised quarter horses and paints for many years, I mean, probably 40 years at least, and we kind of fell into these miniature horses. We went to a horse show one weekend and fell madly in love with them. They were just smart little things with more brains than the big horses and lovable and wonderful little animals, and we fell in love. So then we got into breeding them and showing them. We have like 15 brood mares right now. We've cut back because of the economy, but we raise really good babies and show all over the United States and sell our babies. They go all over the world. We've got a baby that just left to go to Australia the other day.
With the 15-acre farm, do you have other animals as well besides the horses and the poodles?
Oh, we have a donkey. She's
our
protection.
So that's it. And what made you want? I mean, were you anywhere besides Florida, or have you always done all of this work within the state of Florida?
I'm from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I grew up
out
there.
Oh, okay. So
out
you did quite a bit of it there before you came to Florida, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for those of you that are listening that don't know, Ocala is probably one of the major centers for breeding show horses. A lot of the horses that you see win in a lot of the races, the huge races like in Kentucky, are bred right in Ocala, Florida. So it's a lot of farms, very rural area around the town of Ocala, and a lot of horse people live there. Tell us a little bit about yourself, other likes, and a little bit more about you that we might not know from reading your website.
Okay, a little more about me. I've just always had the horses. I've always been breeding horses and showing horses. It's pretty much what I've done. We've got two kids. They both still live at home. The daughter is a horse trainer. She lives on the other half of the farm, and she shows all over the United States for people. I actually show horses amateur, and I like showing amateur. It's what I do, and I enjoy it a lot. That's really my one and only hobby. I mean, we do a lot of driving with the horses, with the carts and stuff also, and that's a lot of fun. And then we raise toy poodles, and we've got lots and lots of dogs here also.
So for anybody that wants to see Abby's website, you can go to www.conderminis.net. I'm going to spell that. That's conderminis.net. So let's get on to the story that just astounds me that our Florida mainstream media is not covering this more. So tell us exactly what has happened within the past 6 months on your farm.
Okay.
Starting from the beginning.
Okay. At the end of May, I had a mare up on camera that was going to have a baby. I monitor, and I have her monitor screen, and I can watch what she does, and she was due to have a baby. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and I kind of glanced away doing other stuff, glanced up at my monitor, and she was gone. She wasn't in the stall. We ran down thinking she just accidentally pushed the stall door open, and we found her outside of the barn just standing with a halter and lead hanging, and we thought, okay, well, this must have been kids playing a prank or something on us. So we put her back in the stall, and I came back up to the house and was watching the mare again, glanced up, and she was gone again. And ran down to the barn, and we couldn't find her. And we looked all over, and we finally found her literally about 3 acres away at the bottom of a field. And she was tied to a fence with a man's belt from her halter. At that time, we still thought it was a prank. We didn't think to investigate it any further. We figured it was some kids in the neighborhood just playing games. And we brought her back up and put her in the stall, and it was really weird, and it was really strange that there was a belt from her halter, and it kind of freaked us out, and we looked at it and thought about it a long time and never really thought of a good reason why someone had done that to us and didn't think anything else about it. And we we decided that, you know, that was just a freak thing. So in August, I walked down my barn feeding, and I was feeding horses and putting the feed in, and I got to about the fourth stall down, went to put the feed in, and one of my mares was gone, one of my show mares. And I had no idea what happened to her. My husband blamed me. I blamed him. We both thought one or the other had left her out or put her out or done something with her. And we looked all over, and we couldn't find her. We searched the property and finally found her tied out by the road to the fence in front of our farm. We live on a pretty busy paved road. She was tied to the fence, and she was very hangdog and really looking depressed. And we ran and got her, and we thought, what happened? Why is she tied to the fence? And all the gates had been shut behind her. The door to the barn had been shut. The door to her stall had been shut. The gates were shut. So we began to walk her in, and I thought of a story that I'd heard a month or so earlier. Well, a friend of mine in Alabama had caught a man in a stall raping one of her miniature horses. And they set a trap, and they actually caught him. And I thought, oh, God, that wouldn't happen here. We're right here. We're 50 feet from the barn. So I thought, well, I'll look anyway. And I walked around behind her and noticed her legs are wet. And when I lifted her tail, she was covered in blood. And she was very torn up. It basically looked like you'd stuck a hand grenade in her bottom. And I cried. We brought her into the barn. We called our vet first. We had the vet come out. Then we called the police, had the police come out. And the police were very reluctant. First, they were very reluctant to come out. They thought that I was some old quack. I basically got laughed at on the phone by the dispatcher. I had to call back a second time to get them to even send anybody out. And when they did send the policeman out, he was smiling. When he got out of the car, he was smiling. He thought it was funny. He thought this was really a funny thing that I was calling about. Well, my vet was here at the same time that the police were here, and she did an exam, and she checked the mare. And my vet even maybe was a little reluctant to agree that it happened until she checked her. And she did an internal check where she went all the way down with a light and scanned her inside and everything. And she'd been hurt all the way down to her cervix, which is about an arm's length deep in, all the way down, and torn up and bruised and bleeding. So she collected semen samples out of the mare and took a lot of pictures. And the police made their little report and they left and didn't tell us what to do about it. And so we put her back in the stall and took care of her and hoped this was just a really freak thing. And at that point is when we realized what had happened to the other mare, the mare in May that had been tied to the fence. We realized that this had happened to her also, and we hadn't realized it. So the day after, I decided we better get a big dog. We have a lot of little bitty dogs. I didn't have a big dog. So we found a breeder that sold Anatolian Shepherds. And they had a 1.5-year-old male Anatolian Shepherd that weighed about 150 pounds. And he'd been raised in a barn, and he knows to protect the horses in the barn, that he would bark and protect them. So we brought him home, and we put him in a stall right in the middle of all the horses so he would bark and alert us if someone came in. And the next morning, my husband comes walking out of the barn as white as a ghost, and he says someone killed the dog. They mashed his head. Yeah. They had hit him over the head with something and killed him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I bet you couldn't even go in there and look, could you?
No. I was sick to my stomach. We called the police. And they came back out, maybe a little quicker this time, because that was something they could relate to, a dog being killed better than a horse being raped. And so they came out, and they looked at the dog and inspected, and we decided that he'd been hit, you know, his head had been bashed in with something. And they made a report, and they left, and we buried the dog. And then we decided that we better have some way to know if this man's coming in. And the best we could think of is we hung up an infrared hunting camera. Someone told us to get one and hang it in the barn. And even if we didn't know when he was there, we would have pictures of him, be able to identify him. And we called the police. They said, oh, yes, you get the pictures. We'll be able to identify him right away from the pictures and see if we can match him with somebody. So time went on, and I kept checking the camera and checked the camera. And after about 3 weeks, I said, you know, he's not coming back. You know, he's just not. You know, I'm doing all this work. So we kind of forgot about the camera for a few weeks and let it just hang there and didn't think about it. And on December 1st, I walked down into my barn to feed the horses, and a one-year-old filly that I had was gone out of her stall again. And the barn doors were locked, the gates were locked, and we knew where she was. And we went running out to the field where we found the other mare, and there she was tied to the fence, the same thing. She'd been ravaged and really, really hurt. And we brought her in, and we called the police. And basically they told us that all we could do is try to get a picture of him, try to get him on film, and try to capture him ourselves, because they really couldn't do anything because it was just a horse. And that we were to get man and hold him till they could come arrest him. And they were talking to people that haven't owned a gun. In my 55 years, I don't think I've ever held a gun in my hands. And
So it's kind of like they're telling you to do Wild West type justice instead of them doing their jobs, which was not just protecting you and your household, but your property as well, which is supposed to be their job. I mean, you know, we have a caller from our same area code, 352. Mm-hmm. So, caller, your number, your exchange starts with 475.
Hey, Anita, it's me. And hey there, Abby, it's Flash.
Oh, yeah, it's Flash. Hey, Flash, how you doing?
Hey. Doing
Thanks
all right.
Thanks for being on the air with us.
You're welcome.
And give us a little heads up on what you've been doing to help Abby and her horses.
Well, when I heard about this on TV, January the 2nd, and at first I was disgusted, horrified, terribly upset. And a minute later, it was like, I need to find this woman. I need to go help those horses. And I was like a dog with a bone. I wasn't happy till I found her number. And I got myself down there. And I started working with them. And they started telling me things. And, you know, they're very, very informative. And I was very pleased to be able to give them some kind of help and feel better.
For the audience, Flash Silvermoon is an animal communicator. She lives just south of Gainesville. So she was able to actually go to the barn and actually do some healing work with these animals that have been so traumatized. And it's just, I'm sure it's indispensable to have this work done for them just so, I mean, they must have a fear of people now. What do you think of that, Flash? Do you think that they're healing or they're progressing towards?
Yes, and I think, you know, it's not like we're all done. You know, some of them may, definitely by the time I left, a good many of them were back to what would seem to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
But Abby could really say better about that.
Yes, the most interesting thing when she came is our stallion had been just terribly scared, even though that I didn't think anything had happened to him. He, at night, would go out in the area, it was his turnout, where these mares had been attacked. And I just, it never dawned on me that something might have happened to him, but as almost as an afterthought, you know, I asked Flash if she could take a look at Bentley and see what he had to say. And immediately he told her that the man had hurt him, the man had hit him, and that he'd never been hit in his life. He was born in my arms, and he's been my baby for 6 years, and he's never had anyone hurt him before, and that he'd been hurt.
Wow. And traumatized by that because there's no telling what he saw, in addition to being hurt, probably.
Right, right.
Yeah, he, of all of them, looked the most torn up, and not physically, but emotionally. I went past his stall, and I saw this very depressed, hiding little horse, little white guy, and he's so cute. And Abby comes along and says, "This is Bentley. I was hoping you could, you know, see what's up with him." And I thought, wow, this horse is really traumatized. I mean, he was just so depressed is what I saw. And after I treated him with flower essences and gem elixirs, I just held him and talked to him. And I don't know, I don't think it took more than 15, 20 minutes. And he started loosening up and loosening up.
You could see the warmth come back into his eyes. It was like, oh, okay, people are okay. I can deal with all this again. Yeah, it was really neat.
He started kissing me and rubbing his face on my face.
Yes, he had a degree of safety at that point. For those of you that are listening in, I did make reference to the post on wisewomenmedia.posteris.com, and on that post that advertises this show, you will see, if you scroll down, you'll see Abby with one of the horses, a picture, and then a description of the show, and then at the towards the bottom you'll see a video, which was December 30th. It was recorded from the webcam inside the barn, and it was at the timestamp on it is 3:30 a.m. and this is the man that has been coming into the barn. As far as we all know, this is the man. Can you tell us a little bit about that night, Abby, and what happened, or did anything happen that night, or did he just walk through?
No, nothing happened. About a week prior, I really decided I need to get diligent on watching this camera because I got scared. He was due to come back, and I got really nervous, so every morning I'd pull the disc out of the camera and I'd go through it, and I'd see me, and I'd see my husband, I'd see me, and that morning I looked, I said, there's my husband, I said, wait, my husband's down at the barn at 3:30 in the morning, he doesn't go to the barn, and when I played the film, it was the man, and see, I right now I've got goosebumps, I can't even think about it without getting goosebumps, and it shows him walking down the aisleway, and looking at all the horses on the left and turning around and coming back up to the other side of the barn, and he stops at the stall that Joy is in. That's the first mare that he attacked that he'd hurt so badly. And she has a lot of faith in people, and she came right up to him. You could see her walk right up to him, and he reaches out to pet her, and she smells him, and she flies to the back of the stall trying to get away from him in the video. And it breaks your heart because you know what she's thinking. She's thinking, oh, my God, it's him, and he's back, and there's no one here but us and him. And then he walks down the aisleway and leaves. And I really believe he was coming in and making his plan for whenever he's going to come back, this weekend or another night. He's only seemed to come on Friday and Saturday nights. So as I'm talking to you now, I'm actually watching a camera monitor, watching my show barn hallway here to make sure he doesn't come in while we're talking again.
Can you tell our listeners how they can watch the webcam? Where can they find a link to that?
Well, on my website, if they go to the www.condorminis.net, we've got a link called the Mayor Cam, and they could go to that. And right now, only the Broodmare Barn is on that, but after tomorrow night, we'll have the show barn where the last few horses have been taken out of. It'll be added into it also.
Okay, and the link is there, Condor Minis, on that same blog post, but also you'll see the video that we referred to, and it says video, can you identify this man? It's a YouTube video, and I encourage everybody to watch that could be listening in, that maybe lives close by to where Abby's farm is. Look at that man and see if you know him. We've had a couple of other people, our good friend Ellen Powell from up in New England, who has enhanced some of those images that were captured from the video and has tried to get a clearer face or visage of this man so we can he needs to be brought to justice. And not only is this man dangerous to animals, but there's no telling what he would do to people if he's going to beat a dog to death and rape defenseless horses. There's no telling what he would do. So, Abby, I definitely can feel for the fact that, you know, when you talk about this, you get goosebumps. It's scary because this is happening right on your property. So A lot of people have asked me this question, and I'm going to ask it. Why don't you just sleep in the barn and
Hell
wait
no.
with a shotgun?
Or have a sleeping in the barn. you know, I'm watching the camera. If he comes in, we'll be down there. We actually, when the first rape had happened, I have a boarder, and he is the best-hearted man in the universe, and he slept in the barn for a week, and then he slept in the field next to the barn, in the grass for a week, waiting for this man to come back, and he didn't come back. And he waited and waited and waited and really wanted to be the hero for us, and the man didn't come back, though I knew everybody was gone again. So I feel he's watching us. I feel he knows our farm. I know he knows our farm. When you watch a video, you'll see he's all too familiar with the farm. He's relaxed and happy to be in the hallway of it. So I think he knows when we're down there, and I think he knows when we're not. And so all we can do at this point is, you know, try to see him and try to get down there. And as the police say, stand our ground and hold him there till they can get there.
Now, I watched that video probably about 10, 12 times.
Yes.
And I discussed this with you earlier, so I probably will just put it out there that I was able to pick up that this person is a very short man. He seems to have a very unusual gait, the way he walks. You can see his face clearly in maybe one or two frames. It's kind of, you know, like any webcam, some of it is kind of grainy. But when he turns, you can see his face for several frames. And it's almost like he has the gait of somebody who has been around horses and has probably ridden horses as a jockey. And that was what I was able to pick up, was the fact that he's either very closely worked with horses. The other thing here, too, that we have to mention, Abby, is the fact that he's always closing the gates.
Yes,
so
that's what a
horse
person would do. Yep.
Exactly what a horse person would do. A
yes.
person that's off the street, that's never been in a farm or has no knowledge of barns, or securing animals, would not do that. That would not be the first thing they would think about. So I'm wondering why the cops didn't even come to dust these areas, like the tops of the gates and things like that, why they haven't done that.
They told us that fingerprints wouldn't stick in a barn because the barn had dirty residue in it, and fingerprints wouldn't stick in a barn.
Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm. Sure was. Yeah.
It is.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
there's some way that they could pick up a print, like if it was on a metal, you know, lock or something like that.
There's metal latches and yes, metal everywhere in that barn that he touched. That I believe they could have gotten prints from.
Yeah, he's put his hands all over. And let me. I'm just playing it again just to see. I bet you he doesn't have gloves on. No.
I couldn't
no.
really tell.
He doesn't.
No, I see his fingers. He does not have gloves on. So this is a man who's doing, it's almost, I can't understand what he's doing in the beginning of the video where he's looking towards the camera. What is he doing there, I'm wondering?
There's stalls on that side, and I think he's just glancing into the stalls as he's walking by is what it looks like to me.
Uh-huh.
I think he's just glancing. Maybe he was worried there was someone hiding in there or just looking for a person or something. But I think he was looking for horses. I think he was we've kind of tried to be profilers here since no one will help us. And we think that he won't rape the same mare twice. We think he comes in looking for a new mare because he hasn't gone back and taken a second mare twice before. So I think he's just cruising through the barn looking. And when you said he had to be knowledgeable on horses, the filly that he raped the beginning of December, I had blankets on these horses. I had winter blankets on them that covered their bottoms and hung halfway down their legs. The only way he could have known what sex the horses were to actually go in there and undo the blankets and lift them up and check them. So he had to know how to work with horses to be able to get in the stalls and do that.
Yeah, he would have got his ass kicked or something,
absolutely.
You know. Absolutely. One of those animals would have got him good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't understand. Police can't profile this because I'm sitting here and I'm not even a law enforcement, and I can profile it just by looking at this video several times.
Yes.
Looks too self-assured in that barn. And he looks short, and he looks like he has a jockey's physique. That's what he looks like to me.
Well, I compared his height to where my shoulder sits on the doors, and I'm 5'3", and his shoulder looks maybe 2 inches taller than mine from where mine hits on the door. So I'm figuring he's like 5'5". He's not big.
He's very.
Yes.
The clothes are bulky, and he's very thin. And I'm wondering what temperature it was that night because he looks like he's dressed. He was trying to keep warm. As I'm looking at this, I'm seeing, you know, I've come up with a profile just now just by watching this, and I talked to you about it earlier during our pre-interview. So, and I'm not even a horse person, but I have a general knowledge of horses, and you know, I've done paramutual for the racing in several different locations in Maryland. So I kind of know who the jockeys are, too, and how they walk and what they would do. But, yeah, he's very self-assured here. So anybody who wants to see this video again, you can go to wisewomenmedia.posteris.com, and in the blog post that advertises the show, scroll down, and you will see that video. And above it says, video, can you identify this man? So we urge anybody that lives in the Ocala area, especially south of Ocala in the Summerfield area, to check out that video and see if you can identify that man, because he is the perpetrator. So the cops have actually said that they will not dust. And how can you tell me, this is another question I wanted to ask you, how much would a top-of-the-line miniature horse, especially a breeding mare of these types, how much would they cost?
We just sold a mare who was actually in the barn during the first rate, but he didn't bother her. And she just went to Australia, and she sold for $38,000. And
so you're talking about what you've got in that barn is definitely like 7 or 8 figures.
Yes, and this barn is our show horses. These are our elite show horses. I have just mares and horses that are out in the fields, and he doesn't bother those. He's going in after my really, really good horses.
Yeah, so we're talking 7 or 8 figures, and this is your livelihood, and the cops won't do a bloody thing. They won't even take a print.
They've got some interest. They've got some interest now that I put it on the media. In fact, it was the same day the media was here. They were acting like they were all coming and caring and pulling up in the driveway after the media left. And so at least it made a move a little bit. And you know, they are showing a bit more interest in the case now.
Mm-hmm.
Although we are still
supposed to
catch up.
And can you tell us about your experience with CNN? Because I understand that CNN did pick up the story, and I was able to watch a small video from there. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't even know. I don't really know how it got to CNN. I mean, we were on Channel 2 and Channel 6, and I think they picked up the story from Channel 2 or Channel 6, actually.
They probably shared the video with them or something.
Yes.
Something like that. So what are your next steps? What will you do now? This is being picked up in media, and I'm sure you know this show tonight will help because it's archived and you can take the link and spread it around. Flash did a show on another night. Flash, can you tell us a little bit about the show and how to get to the archive?
Yeah,
that
we were on Power Talk Radio. It's my weekly show, What the Animals Tell Me, and I mean, since I've gotten on board with this, I've been eating, breathing, and thinking nothing but about these horses and Abby. And we did a show together, and basically letting people know what's going on, a little bit about how they can help, and also trying to flush them out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because I think that this person wants to be caught. I think he's a sociopath and everything else. I also think that he really has it in for horses. Like, in other words, if he's a jockey, if he's disgruntled about horses and maybe the industry, I don't think it's necessarily personal to Abby, but this
right.
guy, he needs to be stopped, and he will keep doing it till he does.
Yeah, I believe he'll be back again also. I don't know how long. I'll be sitting here in front of my monitor. My daughter's going to take over after a while and watch for us tonight. But, you know, he's going to be back. And since we got told that we have to catch him, we're going to catch him. I don't know quite what we're going to do with him when we get him. But we're going to try real hard to catch him and hold him for the police to come get him when he comes back into the barn the next time.
Just
and this is another bit of the profile that I've been able to ascertain, and not because I'm experienced at law enforcement or anything, but just by watching the video and getting a vibe. If he's only coming in on Fridays and Saturdays, he works a 9-to-5.
Yeah,
he
that's
works
what
on
we
Mondays.
Think, too.
So, otherwise, he wouldn't be following a pattern, and he'd show up on a Monday night, a Wednesday
right.
night, whatever. But he's working some type of Monday through Friday job, if he is working.
And probably with horses.
Yeah, probably with horses, and the fact that he knows about how to secure them, and how to move around in a barn. And shuts the door, shuts the gates behind him and everything. Yeah, he's completely experienced within this realm, whereas a city person would not have any idea.
The last filly that he attacked, the one he did at the beginning of December, I had bought her that morning. Actually, I bought her from my daughter's barn, and I brought her up to our barn. It was her first day in the barn when he took her. So I feel like we were really being observed, too, because I just don't see that. It just can't be coincidence that he happened to walk in the barn to take a mare the day that a new filly came in. And
it was
that filly he took. This filly he took was wild. She was absolutely like a little wild Mustang. And someone could offer me $1 million. I don't think I could have gone in the stall and gotten her halter on without a lot of help. And how this man got in there and put a halter on her and let her out and tied her to a fence is beyond me. And I feel maybe also that he's either tranquilizing them or using a stun gun on them or doing something to get them submissive, because I don't think there's any way someone could have done what he did to that mare without something else being done to her, too.
Yeah.
Which leads
he
to
he could
the
be fact giving them something to eat, maybe, with some kind of tranquilizer or sedative.
I'm thinking more an injection, probably, because it would take too long if they ate tranquilizer. He'd be
did
stuck
the
there too long.
Did the veterinarian take a blood sample?
I wish
she did
we had. No, we didn't think of it. We just didn't think of it. And I wish we did now. I wish we'd thought of it and done it. And if he gets away with it again in our barn, believe me, we're going to take every piece of evidence. We're going to check everything we can possibly check, even if I have to hire someone privately to come in and try to fingerprint the barn for me. And we're going to pull it apart if he gets away with it, which, I don't see how he can again.
I think he's toast.
Yeah,
but
really
he'll, if he can't get into your barn, he's going to move on, and he's going to find another barn where he can do this. That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other breeders within the Ocala area that are breeding miniature horses like you are?
There's a couple. He could definitely do the same thing to someone else. I mean, there's one breeder right on our end of town, and then there's another breeder on the other end of town, north of Ocala. So, there are other people. And, I don't wish them on anyone, but I'd rather have them be anywhere but at my farm, next time he gets the urge. But I still have a feeling he's going to be back here. I have a very strong gut feeling that he's coming back.
I agree.
I think he likes the challenge.
Have you checked the laws, the Florida laws, in regards to if you shoot him on your property, what is the liability to you, and how do the laws state that you would be able to do this?
There's the Stand Your Ground law, you know, that George Zimmerman is using, and if he's a threat to your life or your property or your family, and you feel threatened on your property, you can shoot someone. The policeman actually told us that, and he had also told us to make sure that he was facing us if we had to shoot him, which that made me feel very safe, knowing they were going to protect us that way. But you're allowed to protect your property if he's in your barn, but you can't just shoot a man on the back when he's running from you either.
Yeah, the old laws stated that if someone can, now see, I don't know about barns and other, you know, buildings on property that you own, but the old laws used to state that if somebody broke into your house, and we didn't hear about this, of course, until after my household was broken into. I was 12 years old, and we had just moved to Florida, and we were broken into, and the person was actually standing in the hallway at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was really, really creepy. And when the cops came, of course, we were all up. My mother screamed, and we were all up, and my father actually ran after the guy completely stark naked out the front door and down the street and couldn't catch him. And when he came in and called the police, when the police came out, which was 10 minutes later, he said, if you had killed him, strangled him, shot him, he said it would have had to been inside the threshold. And if you shot him, for instance, and he fell out the front door, you'd have to drag his body back in the house.
Yes.
That was the law. That was the old law. So I don't know how that goes with, you know, other buildings on the same property, you know, buildings that you own on your property. So with the Stand Your Ground, that covers you in any case.
That's what the police told us, yes.
Yeah. So I don't want to ask you the question whether you have weapons or not, so I'll just leave that alone. But I would say...
I could probably come with my bare hands right now if he walked in.
Well, seeing as he's pretty small, but what scares me is that a small guy like this... killed your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he must have had a pretty formidable weapon to do that.
Yes.
Or a heck of a lot of superhuman strength. So I'm thinking that must have taken a lot of rage to actually carry that out. So like Flash says, Flash, do you get any other impressions by watching the video or discussing this?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I heard about the dog, you know, and sometimes I'm not sure, did someone tell me this or did I just see it? But in my mind's eye, I saw him take the back of a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have even said as much, like, to look for a shovel for blood and fingerprints.
And fingerprints, yeah.
But
because I'm just wondering if this guy's done it before and maybe he just keeps moving. But there's and he doesn't look old. I'm looking at the video again. He does not look like an older guy. He's walking with a pretty young gait. And when you see his face in the very beginning of the video, he does not look aged at all. So that's the impression I'm getting. And I think you hit on it, Flash, is the fact that he has something against the industry itself.
Yeah, I really believe at the base of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's from old money.
And why do you say that? What are you feeling on that?
I just kind of feel like he's some derelict from possibly a good family, quote, good family, and that he wants a name for himself.
and he couldn't get it the right way, so he'll get it the wrong way.
Mm. Well, that's going to make me stay up and watch my video a lot closer tonight now.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Now,
you know,
did you, we're coming to the last 15 minutes of the hour. What do you want the listeners to know, Abby? Can you give us any more information that might help people be able to make a 1+1 connection on who this guy is or where he is? You said that you think it might be somebody that's observing you. How close are you to town, and how, if you're out in the rural area, it would seem like it would be very difficult for someone to observe you without you knowing about it. So give us a heads up on that.
Well, we're really fairly close to the town of Bellevue. I mean, literally within, you know, a mile's walk to be able to go to a grocery store and stuff. And we live on a paved road. Our barn is probably 50 feet off a paved road, and across the street from us are woods. I just get the gut feeling that he watches us through the woods. I think he's in the woods. I can kind of feel him out there, and it's such a clear view, a clear shot of our barn and what we do and what's there. I can't help but believe he's back in those woods kind of at night keeping an eye on things, maybe waiting till he sees the last light go out in the house, or he knows us. He knows us too well. He's too comfortable. I have dogs. I have lots of dogs. And my dogs will even bark at me when I walk outside. But this man is comfortable enough to walk onto our property with all my dogs and not feel like they'll even give him away. So I feel he's been around our property, on the property, a lot more than I even ever want to know. I can't believe that with all we put out there, someone hasn't recognized him even a little bit, or said, this may be so-and-so, or I've seen this guy. We did have a neighbor call us about 4 days ago and said she thought she saw this man coming out of the woods across the street one night very late when she was driving home, that he, like, stepped out of the woods and the lights hit him and he kind of dove back into the woods. You know, that was the first time I ever heard anybody kind of say what I thought about where maybe he hung out and watched. But if anyone thinks they know him, or they've seen him, or they might know who he is, or even if they have any ideas on who he is, you know, if they can let me know or call maybe let me know before they call the police, because
really?
I think I'm going to listen better.
Yeah. Well, you know what occurs to me? They need to give you the pictures of all the local sex offenders.
Oh, yeah. But you can look those up online.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't even need to go to the police to get those. You can look them up online, and you can actually, there's a way where if you go to the particular website for your county, you can look up the sex offenders and where they're registered all around your home.
We actually kind of found someone that looks just like him, that lives on the other side of those woods, and he looks a lot like I picture this man looking in real life off the video. But again, we're told that unless we can catch him in the act in our barn and hold him for the police, they can't do anything. Even if we ID him by a picture on the Predator page, because as I said, I do have a picture of him, and I have it hanging on my refrigerator. And he looks just like I think this man looks, and he lives like two blocks away. So, but unless they catch him in my barn, they can't do anything.
Hmm. And we discussed this in the pre-interview, but what do you think about the possibility of him being homeless? Is that possible?
I thought that at first, you know, when we saw the video, because he looks kind of grungy and dirty and stuff, but he is only coming out on the weekends. He's got some other life during the week, and
right.
That makes me think that maybe he's not homeless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
that was a real flag to me too when you mentioned that he comes on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yes.
So that would say that. But it is possible to be homeless and work in a 9-to-5 job,
mm-hmm,
too.
Yeah.
If you've got living in a tent. They do that here in Hernando County. There's a lot of people living in tents
out
in the woods.
Yeah, a lot of homeless people here didn't know. We did walk the woods. We've been through the woods, and we found what we thought maybe was a place where someone has slept and camped a little bit, but there wasn't any signs of them being there that at that time when we kind of went through the woods. But it could be. I've changed my mind back and forth on if he's homeless or not a few times already.
Yeah. But, you know, here we are, and we're sitting here, and we're doing the police, you know, we're doing law enforcement's job just by coming up with proof. And the cops can't even do this. And I'm just totally appalled that the cops would do nothing. So, and what is there anything else that you want people to know, Abby? And can you tell us a little bit about the poodles and, you know, tell us a little bit about your business and your breeding business with both animals, the horses as well as the poodles.
Well, we have several baby horses coming this year. I've actually got one mare. Her name is Skinny. She's Flash has worn herself out watching her at night. She's under camera. She's due to have a baby kind of any minute now. And our cameras are broadcast on a website where people can watch from all over the world. You have people helping watch your mares. So when they go to lay down and fall, they call you on the phone and tell you if you're not there. I raise toy poodles. I've got baby, but we delivered a litter of baby poodles last night. I've got them right here in the living room with me. I love my animals. The older I get, the more I love my animals, the less I like people for obvious reasons. But no, and that's what I do. I mean, I live for my animals. I'm here on the farm 24/7. I rarely ever leave. And that's why this is such an infringement on my personal property and my personal life, because I'm here all the time. And someone can still sneak in under the radar on me.
It's a violation. It's almost as bad as being raped yourself, because it's a violation of your privacy and you just your existence and your right to be.
It's almost kind of worse. Yes.
Go ahead.
It's almost worse because I'm responsible for these horses, and I lock them in these little stalls, and they're trapped, and they can't run from this man. So in a lot of ways, it's worse than if it were me, because they're counting on us to keep them safe.
Yeah. Now, what about when the weather gets warm? Do you take them out and let them graze? Could that be a dangerous time for them, or?
Well, I've got horses all over the fields here that stay out, that live out, and he has not bothered the horses that are out. He wants to come in. I don't know if it's the game that he plays that's exciting to him to come into the barn and take them out, but I think he likes to come into the barn and take them outside, because he's not bothered the ones that are outside at all. And there's several. There's probably, I don't know, 20 horses outside all the time.
Yeah. This sick pervert is having a date with a horse.
Yes, he is. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Yes.
He's literally having a date with a horse. That's disgusting. You know?
Yes.
Flash, do you have any other impressions or any bits of wisdom that you can tell us about before we close the show?
I think part of the reason they're not bothered out in the group is because some of those stallions would stomp his ass.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah.
You know, because I'm always careful if I go in a group of horses, because they're big, they're troublesome. Yeah, they can, in a group, they can be hard. And didn't PETA put a reward on this guy's head?
Oh, yes. PETA, yesterday we got notified that PETA put a $2,500 reward out for information leading to his arrest. And we were told that the Marion County Sheriff's Department is going to do the same thing, but I haven't had that confirmed to me yet.
Did PETA put this on any website or anything that I can go ahead and promote or put out?
On my Facebook.
It's on Facebook?
It's on my Facebook page and hers.
Yes.
Okay, well, then I'll track that down so I can add that to the blog post as a comment. So people know that this is for real and that this isn't a joke. I'm very, very appalled that none of the media from Tampa or Orlando or Miami are covering this. And I know Gainesville has. I don't know if Jacksonville has or Tallahassee, but it seems to me that you know, media throughout the state would pick this up and you know, try to assist in finding this guy, or
Ocala
at least put the video out there so people can recognize his face.
Mm-hmm.
So, but and are you in need of anything right now, Abby? Do you need people to check in with you and watch the webcams, or what are your immediate needs right now?
We are going to, as soon as we can get the show barn up, I've got a camera, but we're trying to figure out how to get it on the Internet. As soon as I can get it up and online, all the eyes that we can use at night, and he usually comes between 1 and 4 in the morning, and I'll have a phone number. Wherever I have this online at, there'll be a phone number to contact us, and if you see a person in the barn, to call us, because he's managed to fly under our radar every time, so the more eyes on my barn, as soon as we can get it up live to where everyone can see it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want
now,
more bodies there?
Are you in fear that he's going to somehow find out there's a camera, or do you think he knows there's a camera in there?
You know, I think he's got to know. I mean, the hunting camera that I have that I took the video of him flashed a red light when it went off and filmed. He had to have known it was there, and he still continued to come.
So this is nothing but it's just a huge challenge.
Yes,
I think so. Like he's trying to, it's like his personal best. I hate to say that.
Yes,
but
yes,
like
I would love to feel like we scared him off, but I don't believe we did.
Right. Okay, well, I think we've come to the end of the show, and I just, you know, I'll help whatever way I can to get information out about this. So if you have any new information, just feel free to post it on my page and I'll try to viral it as much as possible. I tried to get this going on Twitter too, and I did have some people viral it out, which was good. But to all of our listeners, if you can help Abby, contact her on Facebook. You can find her. Your name is spelled ABBY, and then the last name is CONDER. And on Facebook, it says you're in Bellevue or Summerfield.
Summerfield.
Yeah, and so connect with her on Facebook, and connect with her also through her website, which is Condor Minis, CONDERMINIS.net, for more information. If you happen to recognize this person, call her first. And I wanted to thank people.
Reward.
What was that?
And there is reward.
Oh yeah, and there's a reward through PETA, and they're trying to confirm the reward through what was it, Marion County Sheriff?
Marion County Sheriff's Department. Yes.
So we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Please tune in next Friday night at 11 o'clock for another show. And if you have any comments, please go to our website at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com and comment right underneath the blog post there. And we also want to thank our sponsors and also hit us up on the WePay link to help keep our show on the air. You can see it under our list of sponsors on the blog itself. Be sure to check out the video. Watch it a couple times. If you recognize this man, leave a comment under the blog and go to Abby's website and get in touch with her first. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Flash, for popping in and giving us everything from your perspective. Abby,
sure.
I would love to have you back on the show as soon as we can, hopefully with a happy ending to this story.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
So
well,
we will hope and pray for that. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Have a good night.